this is not even something to pray about. You prayed already. Is some truth being violated some kind of way? Because if God is big as he say he is, God is big enough to keep us walking in hell. So undoubtedly the sickness and the disease is not from God, and it's really not from the devil. Because the devil can't do nothing to you you don't cooperate with him about. Okay? Now, there's one thing authority in this book where he says that the blind man, I think it was a special case, he cleared it up some, was blind to the glory of God. And Brother Malmo said that one of the things, one of the reasons we're sick, to give glory to God. Well, that's not true. That's not, I can't stand with that. We're not sick to give glory to God. He gives three reasons why we're sick somewhere along in the book. I want you to understand that. He tried to clear it up on the end. He said at that time, but no, that's not really what I believe. All right, turn to page 31. 31, I'm going to read a little bit there. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. See it? Have you ever wondered why are Christians just as sick as non-Christian? I have. Have you? No, you never wondered that? Or why are spiritual Christian just as sick as Christian who are not spiritual? These two questions was asked at the conclusion of chapter 1 of this book. But there are two questions that greatly bothered me for many years while pastoring various churches. Now we're going to see where the Pentecostals, they lay a hand on you. And people are still sick. And the gift can kick in, and you can, the anointing is real. The gift can kick in and it'll drive that sickness out. But if the avenue's still open, or if the gate's still open, or if the door is still open, no matter what type of anointing or what type of mantle, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, don't care who it is, if the gate's still open, the gift can't keep that sickness out of you. All right. You got that? All right. He says in the second paragraph, as I mentioned in chapter 1, I have seen great Christian leaders, evangelists, missionaries, and pastors get sick and even die. Some in the prime of life. We've seen that, right? And we got to get rid of it. The Lord took them. That's a lie. The Lord ain't taking nobody in premature death. Nobody. All right. I understand that. Pastors get sick and even die, some in the prime of their life, doing great works for the Lord. I've also seen a Christian get cancer, have heart attack, upset stomach, and you name it, just like non-Christian. As Christian, how can we account for this? What a question. All right, here's what various religion teach. Different religion, Christian denomination, and their proponents have had some very interesting teaching and practice concerning sickness. Let's look at some of them. See, I know we need to clear this up. Christian Science, founded by Mary Baker Glover Patterson, Eddie, teaches that sickness and death are not real. Only mental error. Yet the founder of this religion, as well as a multitude of its followers, including one of my own aunts, who was a Christian Scientist, got sick and died. Seventh-day Adventists, whose group was founded by Ellen G. White, have included in the teaching of their religion some very strict teaching on diet and care of the body. For instance, they teach against the use of coffee, tea, tobacco, and alcoholic beverages. One of the most interesting teachings is that they are to eat no pork, and that it is the best to eat no meat at all. Though the following of this religion have not all followed the dietary teaching. That's John 13:17. That's a scripture. They know it but don't do it. A lot of them didn't do it. You can't make people do stuff. Though the followers of this religion have not followed these dietary teaching statistics, show that through the following, through the following of this religion have, statistics show that Adventists have less incidence of cancer, you listening? Yes. And in general, are healthier than the average American. Further, as a group that lives 6 years longer than the average American. Here's the Mormon, whose religion was founded by Joseph Smith, also include dietary restriction in their teaching. These include abstaining from the use of alcohol, tobacco, coffee, tea, cola, and other substances containing a drug. They also encourage the storage of emergency food, especially grain and pure drinking water. Pentecostal. Pentecostals generally teach that the healing of the body was included in the atonement. Correct. They often have healing service and healing line, at which time they may apply all with prayer for healing. That's correct. I have personally been in meeting where they demanded God to heal the affliction in the name of Jesus. That's correct. But in some 20 years of ministry, coming in contact with many Pentecostal pastors and their parishioners, I have not seen any less frequency of sickness among their group. Something was left out. Wasn't wrong what they did, but you cannot do that without this. Baptists. How many former Baptists I got in here? Hallelujah. I'm one too. And I was a Baptist pastor for almost 20 years. Often extremely fatalistic when it comes to sickness. They pray very sincerely and they accept treatment with drug, radiation, and surgery by the medical profession as a means that God used to heal Christians who are sick. If God don't heal, you're not going to get healed. Now, you can go through radiation and the different things if you have to, but God got to heal you. If prayer and the effort of medical profession don't bring healing, then the sickness is accepted as the will of God. That's a lie. But in over 30 years of associating with Baptists, I have not seen them as a group to have any better health than the non-Baptist. So now, we're going to cover all the religion just about. All right? Is God to blame? I have not included the above review for the purpose of being unkind. However, I believe that it's high time we stop hiding behind the Lord and blaming him for our physical problem. And that is exactly what we are doing most of the time. We say that it's God's will when sickness comes to us, a friend, or one of our loved ones. It seems that we tend to blame things we do not understand on the Lord. For instance, a tornado devastated a town in Oklahoma, or a hurricane ripped the coast off Louisiana. Why you had to say Louisiana? A flood, and that would happen, yeah. A flood inundated a certain community. In each of these incidents, human lives are lost, and there's a great property damage. Who get the blame for these tragedies? Why? It was an act of God, according to the insurance company on the new commentator, you know. Why they're actually saying is God is to blame. I got this underlined. Let's stop blaming God for things we don't understand. And let's turn to the Bible and see what the Lord has to tell us about this subject of sickness among Christians. Just why do Christians get sick? The Bible gives only three reasons. Here's the one I was telling you about I don't totally agree with. The Bible, but just because you don't agree with something, you don't throw the whole thing away, because it's got so much truth in you. The Bible gives only three reasons for sickness. Now remember, this is a Baptist preacher too. The Bible gives only three reasons for sickness or physical problem among Christians. And I believe that there are physical afflictions suffered by Christians today fall into one of these three categories for the glory of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, I think that was a special case. Verse 1-3, read of a man who was blind from birth. Neither he nor his parent had sinned. The Bible says, who did sin, this man or his parent, that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parent, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. It is very clear that in this incident happened while Jesus was on this earth, and that this blindness was for a purpose, so that Jesus could heal him. All right? Thus calling attention to himself, who he was, and to the Father who sent him. The Apostle Paul seemed to have a physical affliction that would fit in this category. Paul prayed 3 times for healing, but the Lord said, 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, I disagree with that. I believe God healed all. Okay, I believe this was just too special incident. I just got to tell you. That's why I want to read it with you, you know. All right? If this is our Lord and we have a sickness for the glory of God, we do not have no sickness for the glory of God. Matter of fact, I ain't reading no more out there. Part two. Y'all just don't read that part. But it got so much stuff in you, so good, you see. Because of unconfessed sin. In 1 Corinthians 11:28-32, we read about weakness, sickness, and early deaths coming upon believers when they would not confess their sin. I believe that can happen. And God had to judge them. For this caused many a weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. You will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Sickness because of sin is a judgment by the Lord. Sickness because of sin is a judgment by the Lord, but it can be removed if we make things right with the Lord. Reread 1 Corinthians 11:30-32 in this regard. And by the way, all the praying in the world will not heal the affliction caused by sin unless it is the prayer of repentance by the believer who have sinned. I agree with that. I have no doubt that some of the physical suffering among Christians of our day is because of unconfessed sin. However, I believe that the physical suffering of the group comprised a very small percentage of today's physical problem. So you see, sin not the major issue here. Wow, I'm glad to hear that as a Baptist. See, you know, all these people, I know good Christians who are not sinning or sick. Bottom page 34. Today, if a Christian is experiencing a physical problem, it's easy enough to find out if the sickness is because of sin, sincere forgiveness. For John 1, if he doesn't bring healing, then the sickness is almost certainly due to the third reason the Bible gives for sickness. You saw that? The violation of natural law. All right, the violation of God's natural law. In 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, we read, know ye not that you are a temple of God? You see it? Yes. That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him should God destroy. For the temple is holy. Which temple are ye are? These scriptures puzzled me for many years. It was not until I personally had physical problems, which resulted in my studying how the body function and in learning the importance of proper nutrition and vigorous exercise, that my eyes were open to what the Bible was teaching here in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. There is additional teaching on this subject in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your what? And in your spirit, which is God. Glorify God where? and in your spirit, all right? Our lack of knowledge, because what I did, all right, I didn't do it in another chapter. Many people never get a second thought, given a second thought of what they put into their mouth. If it tastes good, they eat it. I've been at it all my life, Lord. I've been eating by taste, Lord. Come on. Let's confess up here. And I got a little thing the Lord gave me. I'm going to give it to you. Most food we pray over. The Lord can't bless. So the Lord showed me this, and it might help you. We've been saying grace over taste. Ain't gonna find that in no book. He told me that at my table. We've been saying grace over taste. Okay? Most people never give a second thought to what they put into their mouth. If it tastes good, they eat it. They never seem to associate their physical condition with what they eat or drink. What? Put it on everybody. Put it on the doctor. Put it on everybody. But themselves. I mean, as a boy, as a teenager, as a man, I ain't talking about what this going to do to me. I'm smelling and tasting, man. I didn't know I was responsible for my body. Write that down in your book. Write it down right now. I am responsible for my body being healthy. Don't put it on the devil. Don't put it on Jesus. Don't put it on your doctor. Don't put it on medicine. Don't put it on nobody. You're responsible. They never seem to associate their physical condition with what they eat or drink. People were to read, if people were to read the ingredients on the label before putting things into their mouth, they would be amazed at what they are consuming. Substances that often can even produce substances they often can't even pronounce, much less know what they are. The average person uses more care in selecting the grade of gasoline to put in their automobile than they do the food they put in their mouth. Put verse 13, 17 up there. Put that verse up there. I think it's 13, 17, son. Keep me free. Nor do people, I'm on page 36. Nor do people normally associate their exercise their body receive or fail to receive as having to do anything with their physical health. Just sit there and eat. Wrong. Anything. Look at Hosea 4:6. The Bible says we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now here you have the purpose of writing this book. My purpose for writing this book is to share with you, my Christian brothers and sisters, some of the knowledge I have obtained and experienced concerning the body and health. Knowledge that, when applied, has literally changed my body and life. I'm now feeling as good or better than I did when I was 20 years old. I think he was 60 at that time. Some, he's 80 something now. Some will heed this knowledge and see marvelous things start to happen within their own bodies. Health will be their portion, and life will take on a new glow. Just feeling so alive will excite you, and living for Jesus will become an increasingly thrilling experience. Others will reject the knowledge and go on their merry, miserable way to a diseased body, much suffering, and a premature death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This scripture most certainly applies to the subject we're discussing, why a Christian gets sick. Then there may be someone who says, but I would rather go to be with Jesus. Not right now. I want to live out my full life. How about you? That's somebody real spiritual, you know. Yeah. I'm dying, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Yeah, ahead of time. This world is so wicked, and being with Jesus would be so wonderful, and beside, I'll have a new body. You left your children here, left everybody. Oh, but you can have a new body here now if you want it. Oh, I can get a new body here. Let's remember the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm a switch between two, having a desire to depart, be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So, you know, I try to train you along that line. Let's look at the review right quick. Christians are just as sick as non-Christians. How many agree with that? Spiritual Christians are just as sick as Christians who are not as spiritual. I agree with that. Why? I'll tell you why. Christians tend to have to be very fatalistic in their view of sickness, often attributing it to or even blaming God for their physical problem. And then the Bible teaches these three things. And you know, the first one, I skip it. And then I go to the second one about unconfessed sin, the violation of natural law. And number four is our poor eating habit. Lifestyle and lack of exercise cause most of our physical problems. We do have a choice. Will it be health and happiness or sickness and suffering and ultimate death, untimely death? Which will you choose? Now, you know, I'll tell you there's three things. Sickness, early or premature death, or live a long suffering life. You don't want neither one. I've seen people suffer. I've been in ministry 47 years. I've seen people suffer. Good people suffer so much, it just don't make no sense for that to happen. Okay? You're not going to be able to say you have not been taught or directed in this thing. These chapters are so short. Go back to chapter 2. Give me 5 or 10 more minutes. That chapter I want to go to. No, wait a minute. Go back to chapter 1. Because I think you got a good subject. When you look at chapter 1, think about your health condition and look at those two words. My dilemma. If you want to do something about it, this is the time to do it. My people destroy it like an outage. You see that? All right, now watch what he says here. Joe was a friend, a big, powerful man who had been an all-American football tackle. He was also a very successful evangelist who had been mightily used by the Lord. He had held 7 revivals for me through the years in various churches that I pastored. I always looked forward to Joe being with us. He was a very kind, helpful, spiritual man with whom I enjoyed good fellowship. In a message to the church during one of these revivals, Joe said, "I believe that over 90% of," watch, 90% of all sickness among Christians is because of sin. Joe said that. Being a young, impressible preacher, I too, while preaching, would say on occasion, "I believe that over 90% of all sickness among Christians is because of sin." Hallelujah. We kept in touch through the years. Not many years later, I received a letter from Joe requesting prayer. He needs. He had suffered a heart attack and was lying in a hospital bed, unable to preach scheduled revivals. Being a very well-known evangelist in great demand, he usually stayed fully booked for years in advance. I want y'all to see this. My Lord. Remember, he said he was a big, strong man. And with his letter, Joe had included a photograph of himself lying in the hospital bed. After I'd read the letter and looked at the photo, my first reaction was, could this heart attack be because of sin? Had Joe fallen out of favor with God? This physical problem that my Christian brother was experiencing troubled me greatly because I knew what a great work he had been doing for the Lord. Also, we had prayed together on many occasions, and I knew of his total commitment to the work of the Lord and the many personal sacrifices he made in his dedication to full-time evangelism. Christian leader suffered stroke. Then it happened again, not too many years later, to another Christian leader from whom I had the utmost respect, a man among men. This outstanding Christian, who was an evangelist and the founder of a large Christian youth camp, experienced a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. Christian all over the world was asked to pray, but this ministry was curtailed sharply, and after several additional strokes, he died. Could these strokes and the untimely death of this great Christian leader be the result of sin? Was his death the will of God? It seemed the stark answer among Christians when something like this happened is often it must have been the will of God. Christian publisher has heart attack. Shortly thereafter, another evangelist, a publisher of a great Christian periodical that boldly stood for the fundamentals of the faith, suffered a heart attack. Christian and churches from all over the world once again was asked to pray. But after continuing deteriorating in his health, he also died. Was his death because of sin? Could it be that the death of this greatly used man of God was the will of God? Founder of Christian College suffered from senility. At about the same time, another Christian leader, also evangelist and founder of one of the best-known Christian universities in America, was having a terrible problem with senility. His senility was so severe that for many years before his death, he was unable to function or have any kind of ministry. Could his senility be the result of sin? Could it be that his senility was the will of God? By this time, I was extremely troubled at what I was seeing happen to men I respected. Men I look up as great spiritual leaders of the day. God had even used some of these men when he called me into ministry. Christian missionary died from cancer. Of all the troubling experience I went through, the most upsetting up to this time was something that happened at a preacher's conference around the year of 1974. Listen at this, church. The church I was pastoring had been kind enough to send me to the conference for the rest and refreshment. It was a time of fellowship with other preachers and to get my spiritual batteries recharged. However, I returned from this conference more perplexed and troubled than ever. There was over 1,200 preachers from all over the world attending this conference. Toward the end of the conference, the host pastor presented a missionary pastor to the gathering preacher. He was a pastor in a church of some 15,000 people in the Philippines and was experiencing fantastic blessing in his ministry. However, he had been forced to leave this ministry because of cancer. At only 45 years of age, the doctor had given him only a few months to live. We had special prayer for him, over 1,200 preachers praying for his healing. After we had collected prayer, we were encouraged to take this prayer request back to our respective churches, also to pray for his healing. This represents the potential of having then 1,000 Christians praying for these evangelists to get well and be able to return to the field where he was doing such a mighty work for the Lord. But he did not get well. In fact, he died not very long thereafter. Could this death have been the result of sin? If his death was not because of sin, then why didn't the Lord answer the prayer of the multitude of Christians who was praying for this healing? Why didn't the Lord answer the prayer? See, we praying and killing at the same time. You pray, God, heal this bad stomach and go eat 6 donuts. It's just stupid. I've been stupid. Don't be afraid to say you're stupid. It's just stupid. And then some of y'all are going to live out here and still be stupid. You know, you're going to have to ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Your taste buds, just like mine, are perverted. You follow me? And in commercials, they plan your baby. Look, you can't even watch a movie unless you got to see 32 convert. They shoot a bug out in front of you. And what you call that place? That seafood place. Red Lobster. Oh, Red Lobster got the grease just dropping. I mean, got Red Lobster got shrimp dancing in front of you. All colors, all kinds. And you got to be strong. I mean, this is the Lord doing here, and he'll help us, because every one of my members that died early, I believe it was a food problem. Good people, I love them. I wish I could have them here today, everyone. They wasn't in sin. It wasn't the will of God. It wasn't the will of God, and they wasn't in sin. It come back to what you putting in your mouth. And we're going to learn about this 100 trillion cells we have in us, and those cells have to have the right type of food. I'm even proud to say this. They fight medicine so much and say how bad medicine is, and it is. The doctors know it too. It's poison, but they're trying to help you. They're just trying to help you because some doctors try to help you because they know you ain't going to do right. But a lot of time, vitamin and nutrients are the same way. They're dead. I know I told you about vitamins. They're dead too. Your cells are alive. So what they need? I can't hear you. Raw, yeah, raw. And after many ways, I got a young girl, Rachel, her mama told me that now. She don't want to take care of me and Carolyn and I. She'll fix some things today. Now you can, if you're dealing with something, I'd raw it out and keep my meat and keep checking with your doctor. When you get it straight, you can do 80-20 or 70-30. You can have some cooked food. Now, you don't want to have no cooked grease. When I say cooked food, I'm talking about a baked potato, eye potato, sweet potato. You can have greens, you know. Now we're about to leave. We're about to go. I want to get to the part. I want you to see this. Go back to the first paragraph. Just catch up with me if you can. If this death was not because of sin, then why didn't the Lord answer the prayer of the multitude of Christians with praying for their healing? Was his death the will of God? These were hard questions, and they bothered me greatly, been bothering me for many years, as there just not seemed to be any answer that made sense. These were questions that I, as a pastor, felt I should know the answer to, but I didn't. I'm sharing some of the most outstanding examples because all during these years, I was seeing just ordinary, lesser-known Christian, as well as members of the various churches I was pastoring, experiencing numerous physical problems and seemingly untimely death. Many of my preacher friends also had physical ailment as well. I got a lot of preacher friends die. Good men had done great works. I'm not going to call no name, but I'm seeing four or five of them right now. Great men. They should be alive today. I know what their problem was, what they died from. A lot of them died from heart problems, clogged arteries. And in the Baptist church, when we had a eating, you know number one thing on the list, right? Go ahead and tell me, you're a Baptist fried chicken, you know what it is. You're a Baptist, you don't know about fried chicken, you ain't not a Baptist. You haven't even been baptized unless you know about fried chicken. Cause that's how I'm going to try to finish right quick. Because many of my preacher friends also had physical ailment as well. Some that were serious enough to hinder their ministry. Some of them had even died. Now it was my turn. It was 1976, however, that this whole perplexing problem of sickness among Christians came to a climax. 6 years earlier, I had started a new church in upstate New York. The church had grown from just my own family in the beginning to a membership of over 600. Some was driving in excess of 100 miles to a 10-hour service. Many of us coming to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. We were broadcasting on 3 radio stations each week and had 5 large buses on the road bringing people to Sunday school and church services. There was a printing ministry and a bookstore ministry. Our Christian school had over 100 students in kindergarten through grade 12. Along with a Bible Institute. Our Christian school was ranked as one of the top 5 Christian schools in the nation. Over a dozen of young people were in Christian college, some preparing for full-time Christian work. None could deny that the Lord's blessing was on this ministry. Then it happened. of all these wonderful blessings going on in my ministry in 1976, at the age of 42, I was told I had colon cancer, along with some other serious physical problems. Wow. This was mind-boggling. Could this sickness be because of sin in my own life? Was this the will of God for me? As I look back on it, even to this day, I don't know how I could have been more sincere, dedicated to the Lord and His work. You see that? To say the least, this was very devastating to me. This all happened only a short time after I watched my own mother die as a result of cancer. Following many years of medical treatment, her illness and deterioration was a terrible thing to have witnessed. I believe Mom suffered more from the treatment she received than she did from the cancer itself. My goodness. After watching my own mother go through this terrible ordeal, I was determined not to follow the conventional cancer treatment of my own body, so I searched for and found an alternative, nutrition, and a changed lifestyle. It had worked for others, but there was no assurance that it would work for me. However, I felt it was at least an alternative that made sense, that I did not contradict the teaching of the Bible as did the ministering of drugs. All right? I leave the ministry. So I left the ministry and moved to a small town in Florida. There, I attended a class on nutritional institute, as well as put into practice the things that was being taught. As well as put in practice the things that were being taught. I'm reading that wrong. Because you know what I'm going to tell you? You run to me and say, Pastor, I did everything they told me to do, and nothing had changed. I'm going to call you a lie. It's not going to happen in 15 minutes. Might not happen in 15 days. But if you stick with it, it's Genesis 1:29. It's God's way of doing things. You were designed to eat live food. I've been a fool all my life. I didn't know that. So he said he went to this nutritional institute as well as put into practice the thing that was being taught. Oh, some of y'all saying, I'm young and I'm doing all right. Come on, baby. All right. Almost immediately, unbelievable things started to happen in my body. Not only did the serious problem start to go away, he had a tumor in him big as a ball. You know what that tumor is? That tumor in you big as a ball? That tumor is stuff your body has wrapped up to keep from going in your system. Toxic. Your body is designed to heal you. You heard that? You got more nurses and doctors on the inside of you than this world can offer. Almost immediately, unbelievable things start to happen in my body. Not only did the serious problems start to go away, but even minor problems start to make the exit from my body as well. To say the least, it was very, very exciting, but I will talk more about this later. My dilemma, even more exciting than healing, I was experiencing in my own body was what I saw happen in the life of those who also at this nutritional institute. People were there from all over the world with all kind of physical complaint. Many of these people were not professing Christian. See that? Some of them were openly agnostic. Yet, when they applied the principle that was being taught, truly miraculous healing took place and they got well. Now, I was really faced with a dilemma. For nearly 20 years while in the Christian ministry, I watched Christians get sick and often die from a variety of illness in spite of many prayer and the effort of the medical profession. Now, I was faced with personally witnessing even non-Christians getting well without prayer. See, y'all Christian, I don't want to hear that. See, because y'all got so much spiritual knowledge, sometimes you can't talk to you. You don't want to hear nothing else. See, don't let that happen to you. I'm telling you. Don't let that happen to you. No, none of y'all know spiritual than I am. But I saw, because I prayed about things and it didn't change. And it didn't change because I was eating the same thing. See? You try to pray harder. You try to pray longer. But it don't do no different. The medical profession, even knowledge of God in their life, how was I was the confident the rest of this book, why a Christian gets sick, is devoted to answering this most important question. So you could read the review there. And go ahead on and read through the book. And don't beat yourself because you can't do it overnight. But think. I want you to think. I'm talking about your soul just now. Think properly. And I don't believe there's a case in you that can't be healed. High blood pressure, heart condition, arteries. Now, if you're in an emergency case, you better go to the doctor. All right? But I don't believe nothing can be changed. Nothing in you cannot be changed. I think Christians are sick because they're eating what everybody else eats. I'm not saying it's going to be the easiest thing you can do. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's going to be the easiest thing you can do, but I think it's the right thing to do. Stand on your feet. They sold these books out, so Shana get 200 more of these. We got to have them here. I got to give the believers a chance here. And I'm thankful that I better not say it. I might get them in trouble. I ain't gonna say it. Amen. Amen. You dismiss. I'll see you.